United Methodist ministers in Bloomington Normal say the global church's decision to double down on its policy banning same-sex marriage and gay and lesbian clergy runs counter to their message that the church is welcoming to everyone. As GLT's Eric Stock reports, some local leaders of the nation's third-largest church wonder if the Methodist message of open hearts, open minds, open doors still applies, while at least one pastor plans to ignore the church edict.
There are seven United Methodist churches in Bloomington Normal with about 4,500 members, and there are lots of members on both sides of the gay marriage, gay clergy, and gay churchgoer questions. Area ministers now face the prospect of managing conflict as people have both disappointment and celebration over the decision.
It's a very big issue that the church is going to deal with for years to come.
Kathy King Nobles and her husband, Kent, are pastors at First United Methodist Church in Normal, one of the largest Methodist churches in the Twin Cities. She says the Methodist Church has always been inclusive. As she watched a video feed at the UMC General Conference in St. Louis, she wished its global delegates had chosen another option, one that would have allowed individual churches and regional conferences to decide on their own whether to ordain or marry LGBTQ members.
Even in this issue that we feel like the One Church plan would give us an opportunity to live together as the United Methodist Church and have different perspectives, but giving people the latitude and the freedom to do what they feel God is calling them to do. That's what's probably been more frustrating to me than anything.
The vote to essentially maintain the church's status quo was close, with an overwhelming percentage of support for the traditional plan coming from African churches, including countries where homosexuality is banned. Tiffany Black is pastor of Morningstar United Methodist Church in Normal, a smaller church on Fort Jesse Road that draws about 50 worshipers each week. Black says the dichotomy of the U.S. versus African split represents the challenge of being a truly global church.
Then you add countries from around the world who struggle in a lot of areas that we don't even struggle in and we don't even know about in terms of just the general lifestyle there. They're going to have a whole different view on things. And somehow we've got to mesh it all together. We've got to become a united Methodist church.
Black is hesitant to predict whether this division will lead to a formal split in the church. She and others believe the Judicial Council, which acts as the UMC's Supreme Court, could still rule some parts of the vote unconstitutional when it meets in late April.
Until the final thing is done, let's not panic. In any way, whether you're for it or against it or whatever, unless I have a role to play in changing it somehow, there's no reason to worry until we get to that point.
Methodist doctrine, which the leadership reinforced this week, states that the practice of homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching. The church, as far back as 1972, formally acknowledged homosexuality and said homosexuals, quote, are entitled to have their human and civil rights ensured. This came decades before gay marriage became the law of the land in the U.S. Normal First UMC pastor Kent King Nobles says in the time that's followed, those opposed to gay marriage have become more vocal within the church.
There has been a little bit of pushback and a growth of conservatism in the United Methodist Church.
That, along with a drop in mainline Protestant church membership in the U.S. and growing African churches, has enabled the traditional movement to gain strength against withering resistance. Sarah Isabel was pastor at Wesley UMC, the largest Methodist church in Bloomington. She was the one Bloomington Normal delegate who had a vote at the conference. Isabel struggles with the notion that matters of humanity, such as acceptance of one's sexual orientation, boils down to a legislative decision.
To have to vote on that as a body, to have to vote yes, one for yes and two for no, to me is not a helpful way to answer those questions. I want to handle those questions pastorally and relationally with people as children of God.
Isabel likens the Methodist Church's struggle over gay rights to that of slavery, an issue which split the church in the 1840s and later over ordaining women.
The church, every church, still deals with racism, still deals with sexism, but we work through those things at least in a structural sense. And my hope is that eventually this will be one of those that we look back on and say, boy, that was a really tough fight, but we finally got to the other side.
Isabel says this will not be the last we'll hear about the issue. I'm Eric Stock.
The Methodist Church Conference is looking into allegations as well that some delegates who voted in favor of the traditional plan may have been bribed.